Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Happy Thursday. We're glad you're here with us at 107 on the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Come join us. Come say hi. We'd love to see you. We're real close to 12,000 subscribers on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We're asking you in the live chat of today's live broadcast, how do you feel about Trump's handling of Canada? We kind of talked about this. Was it yesterday? I guess it was because I've only been with you for a full day this week since yesterday.
I'm going to say it was yesterday.
How do we all feel about the 51st state thing, the Governor Trudeau? Trump went in kind of hard on the Canada, like the picking on Canada kind of thing. And I saw a lot of people speaking on this from a social media standpoint that weighed in on not liking the tone. And it, I don't think that it was as much that he said it. It was the frequency with which he said it. I'm pretty sure hate it is strong. But I'm more hated it than indifferent, because I don't think that I don't think that the material nature of attacking Canada the way the administration attacked Canada was. I don't think that we were going to get to the other side of that. There are things that he's saying he's going to do that I believe he's going to do. I don't think I ever really bought into the 51st state idea. And I don't know that if I don't know, it just seemed like it just seemed like the shiny object that he couldn't stop following.
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent on this, but I don't love, he didn't really need to inflame it the way that he did, so I don't like that. I would lean toward hated on that, but the problem is, well, since the question is, how do you feel about Trump's handling of Canada, he's going to hurt them economically, and not because he hates them, but because he's like, these deals aren't good. They've never been good for us.
He's balancing it out.
They need to change, and when we change them, you're going to feel real pain here. And so I think he was getting ahead of that and saying, look, we could change our entire relationship, but the way that he did it, it kind of pushed him away further. So,
yeah, I think that's a good point that the if you're talking about how he's handling Canada, you could talk about what he's doing and what he's saying. And what he's doing, I'm interested in that. I want to know how that shakes out. What he's saying, I thought it was funny. When Trudeau went to Mar-a-Lago and sat down with President Trump, and he's like, Governor Trudeau. I thought that was funny.
I did too.
And I also think when it involves Trudeau, it's always funny.
Yeah.
Like, without the 51st state thing, like, towards the people of Canada, if it's all wrapped into just Trudeau, I'm actually saying I love it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. The trouble is, he really could have wrapped this up and said, look, we're going to have to change our relationship. You're going to feel some pain because we have to change these deals. We can do this very nicely, though. And he didn't do that. He basically said, we're in the position of strength. You're not.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen.
I'm much more inclined. I would vote indifferent on this.
I am too.
But indifferent is not an endorsement on Trump like I am on usual things. So indifferent is like a step back, like, I'm going to sit this one out. If someone came up and be like, how do you justify how he's talking about Canada? I'd be like, I don't really have to.
Yeah.
That's not really my job. There are other things that people said. How do you justify Trump's support for blah, blah, blah? I'm like, well, A, B, C, and D, and E, and F, and G. And this one, I'm just like, you'd have to ask him. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Oh, man. Congresswoman Mary Miller sat down with me while we were in Washington, D.C., while I was in Washington, D.C., and we were able to discuss quite a few things. Of course, this week, as a lot of people acknowledge, congratulate the president on his first 100 days, many other people would be detractors of the president's first 100 days. Congresswoman Mary Miller is not going to be a detractor. She might be his number one cheerleader in the House of Representatives and has always been tried and true, a major MAGA supporter. We had a great conversation. It was nice to sit down and speak with her about families and also about things that are in Illinois. And so let's listen in, Brad, to the Congress.
We are sitting in Congresswoman Mary Miller's office. Very excited to have a conversation with another Southern Illinois representative here in Washington, D.C. Thank you for the time today.
Well, you're welcome. Great to see you out here.
So I'm out here for the 100 days of the first, or the second term, I should say, of Donald Trump's administration. First things first, how do you feel the president's doing?
Oh my, A plus. You know, Trump 2.0 is even better than Trump first term because of the pace that he's accomplishing his agenda. So, you know, he wants our country to be strong, safe, and secure, and he's getting it done. So,
yeah.
Especially at the border.
So, I think that yesterday I was at the press briefing with Tom Homan, and listening to Tom Homan have the resolve on, you know, that clear-eyed focus about doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who want to throw, you know, accusations or insults his way, Trump's way,
mm-hmm.
About what they're doing, make it a super emotional story.
Right.
But Donald Trump and the people who he has empowered in this administration understand what the good and right thing is. Mm-hmm. And it seems like all the noise doesn't affect them.
I don't think it does. And President Trump loves our country, and he's proven it. And the first role of the government is to protect the people. So we have to secure our borders. I was saying from the very beginning, President Biden and Mayorkas, in my opinion, guilty of treason to open up our border, to advertise and facilitate the invasion. And can you even imagine that they flew in, according to President Trump, 10,000 convicted murderers and 16,000 convicted rapists into our country? Who would do that unless it's someone that hates our country? But I believe that they want to completely overthrow the country, which Barack Obama said that was his dream, is that we would fundamentally change our country.
Yeah.
But one of the methods that those people use is chaos and overwhelming the system, which is what they tried to do. And they've left President Trump and his people a mess.
Yeah.
But he's undeterred.
And he's done a really good job of staying the course and 100 days in, with a lot of days yet to go to still get the job done. It seems as though he's made progress on most of his campaign promises. Let's take it home to Illinois a little bit for a minute. So I know in the state of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker this weekend made some comments, and he's trying to get people riled up. He says that we need to be castigated at the soapbox or whatever and beaten at the ballot box. I don't really know what that means per se, but I understand that if the Republicans were saying it, they'd be talking about rhetoric and inflammatory language.
Completely.
How do you feel about the governor?
I can't really say it.
I mean, sure you can.
Yeah. Well, he wants to run for president.
Yeah.
But he's been an utter failure as a governor. He's been overseeing the demise of our state in every way. Population, we're bleeding population. You know, industries leaving. We were a net exporter of energy. Now we're importing energy. We're not a safe state. We're a sanctuary state. We are spending billions of dollars on illegals, and he is defying federal law by harboring criminal aliens.
So, Congresswoman, when you and I generally have conversations, we get to talk about families,
yes.
and we get to talk about children. And I think about the first 100 days of Trump's administration on the second term. They're such big transformative ideas that I feel, though, as though he is giving me hope as a parent.
Yes.
For the future, that maybe that American dream that I you know, you remember the Greatest Generation, my grandparents, my boomer parents' age, like the idea of an American dream was something that people pursued. But as a 40-something millennial myself, I don't really know that my peers think about an American dream. I think that that's kind of been diminished a little bit. But with the changes that the Trump administration is putting in, I feel like that might be in reach in a way that it hasn't been before. What do you think about the future for our kids and how this administration is looking towards
them? I feel very hopeful. President Trump is restoring the foundation of our country, which, first of all, is faith and family. And then also what every American wants. They want to feel safe and secure in their communities. They want economic opportunities, and they want their children to get excellent educations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously, to be safe and secure, you have to restore the border and deport the illegals that are here. Economic opportunity, we need one of his great accomplishments from the first term, deregulation. So yeah. If you combine him securing for us better trade agreements, tax cuts, and deregulation, I think that we're going to look forward to a booming economy.
One of the things that you've championed a lot is the difference between boys and girls.
Yes.
And the idea that boys shouldn't be playing in girls' sports and that girls should feel safe and protected in the private spaces that they have. The state of Illinois has not agreed with the president's movement on keeping boys out of girls' sports. I know that the IHSA, the Athletic Association for the high schools in the state of Illinois, has kind of tried to just back out of it and not take either side, which landed them against the Trump pressure to separate those.
Well, they actually took a side.
They did.
Because they're ignoring President Trump's executive orders, so they took a side. And the whole purpose of the IHSA is to make sure that we have fair competition. And it is not fair to let men in girls' athletics. It will destroy girls' athletics.
What do you think? We'll have a lot of Illinois folks listening to this interview. What if they maybe didn't realize that the IHSA wasn't taking an active role in making sure that boys and girls were separated in sports? Do you have any advice for those folks listening right now as to what they can do to put some pressure?
Well, first of all, I am calling on Attorney General Pam Bondi to come in and investigate what's going on. Mm. For parents, I think. And I have 5 daughters and 10 granddaughters.
Yeah.
So 100%, if your daughter is being put up against a team or someone competing against them as an individual that is male, I think that they should opt out of the competition.
Would you like folks to contact you in the state of Illinois if they're facing that situation?
Absolutely.
I want you to contact Congresswoman Mary Miller.
Parents, parents, get involved.
Yeah.
Even in education, I say all the time, communities thrive when the schools and the parents work together. Parents are in the driver's seat for education, for athletics, mm-hmm. for protecting our kids.
So before I let you go, we're speaking here with Congresswoman Mary Miller. Talk to me about the Illinois election that's coming up, because Governor J.B. Pritzker hasn't said that he's not running for his third term. He could run again. Pretty clear he's trying to maybe be the president of the United States. But we also know that Senator Durbin is not running for re-election. Mm-hmm. What's your advice to Illinois voters and the Illinois Republican Party on how to make sure we win?
Well, we have had low voter turnout, which I think passing a voter ID law will help states like Illinois. Mm-hmm. We need to get people out.
Do you mean
vote.
That federally, a
yes.
voter ID law?
Okay. Yeah. But I think we need to get people out to vote. So local grassroots effort are very important. The precinct committeemen need to know how many votes they have, and they need to make sure that they harvest those votes, that they go out and chase those ballots. And my husband says all the time, if we could just get gun owners out to vote, mm-hmm. we could win.
Yeah.
And if the registered Republicans would come out to vote, we could win.
Well, so, I think turnout is absolutely where it is. And we've seen the state of Illinois has dramatically shifted in the way of Donald Trump. And because of the gerrymandering of the districts, we didn't see that.
I do want to tell the listeners that George Washington actually did not win that many battles. But ultimately, he won because he didn't quit. Mm. And the left wants us to be discouraged. We cannot quit. We have to keep on for our children's sake.
I love it. That's exactly the right message. Yeah. Congresswoman Mary Miller, thank you. So good to be here.
Thanks for coming in.
Congresswoman and I sat down to have that conversation. Really enjoyed that. She had her office all ready for us. It was so great to go in there and have that discussion. Hope you liked that. That's some of our coverage from my Washington, D.C. trip earlier this week to be able to participate in the White House press corps, to go to Capitol Hill. And a huge thank you to Stewart's American Mortgage and the Bagel Loan for making this possible, to Grasser Electric for all of your electric needs. If you have an emergency repair situation, if you want to refit your home with up-to-date and future-proof your home with electrical needs, Grasser Electric can help you there as well. All right, quick break. When we come back, Joe Concha joins us. And Joe and I have been hanging out lately, not in person, but through his new book, which is out now. It's called The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. I have the audiobook and he reads it and it's fantastic. I'm halfway through. I think I'm on the Mike Walls. See, this is a problem today. The Tim Walz chapter. He talks a lot about how Tim Walz is a Midwestern, and I'm like, I am mad about the sustained correlation between Tim Walz and the Midwest. Why you gotta do us like that?
Open with it.
But I mean, isn't the whole point, and I'm halfway through the chapter, they probably will make that point, that he didn't sell the Midwestern thing, and J.D. Vance is sitting by in the wing going, doing his Midwestern thing, which is kind of snarky, funny comments from the back.
So you're at the cliffhanger part where you don't know the answer to that question in the book yet?
I don't know Joe Concha's answer.
Okay.
But it's been greatly entertaining up to this point. It's called The Greatest Comeback Ever, but Joe Concha is with us next.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I was on the ticket, I would argue, because we did a lot of amazing progressive things in Minnesota to improve people's lives. But I also was on the ticket, quite honestly, you know, because I could code talk to white guys watching football, fixing their truck, doing that I could put them at ease. I was the permission structure to say, look, you can do this and vote for this. And you look across those swing states, with the exception of Minnesota, we didn't get enough of the.
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
Well, I needed to get one of those white dudes that was being code talked to by Tim Walz here to explain what is this guy doing? What is he talking about? Who's he talking to?
He's not talking to me. I am a football coach, okay? I am undefeated in my spring league right now with my 9-year-old, okay? Flag football, but it still counts, damn it.
Football's football.
Football is football. But you remember, this was the most infuriating part of the last campaign, Annie, and thank you for having me, was when Tim Walz is playing AOC in, like, Madden Football, a video game. And he says, oh, that AOC could run a mean pick six. And I screamed at the TV. I go, you don't run a pick six? You know football, Annie, right?
It's organic.
It just kind of happens. You know, you jump around, a ball's tipped, something. You don't run a play that says we're going to get a pick six now. It doesn't exist.
Every defensive play is a pick six, you hope, in some regards.
Exactly.
If it's a passing play.
Yeah, they're rare-ish, but still. I don't want to get in the weeds in this, but remember when he also changed an air filter on his truck, but the one he took out was completely clean? Or he didn't know how to load a gun? I could go on and on. Or, oh, I was in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square massacre. No, actually, he was in a Nebraska cornfield. I mean, the worst by-far candidate, the worst decision by any candidate in terms of Kamala Harris, where you had Josh Shapiro, I always say it, he's that fastball right down the middle on a 3-1 count. That's the guy you take. It's the state you need. He's popular there. And she goes with, you know, the goofy 80s sitcom dad instead. And he's still talking. Stop.
Yeah, and he's saying the same things. I found it ironic that he said that there, that he was basically, in his words, he was chosen as the vice president because he was a white dude. And Kamala Harris was apparently chosen to be Biden's vice president because she was a woman of color. And this has not worked out so well. At least it didn't in the last election. But the Democrat, I don't look at the Democrat Party right now like they're getting the message. Are they getting the message?
They're being consulted by somebody who is giving, let's put it this way, the RNC should double the pay of whoever's consulting this party at this point. It's just that bad, right? I mean, Chuck Schumer says we're going to do an all-nighter to protest the Trump's first 100 days in office. He couldn't even get to midnight. You know, it's like all-nighter means not until, you know, Jimmy Fallon is off the air. Like, it means the whole night. So it's all performative at this point. They have no leader. They have no message. They're still reeling from November 5th. And the fact that Kamala Harris got 75 million votes and she's talking about what, elephants? Do we have that clip?
I got to get that one dug up. I know we've got it here.
I
texted you earlier this week. I'm showing the folks my Audible account, the greatest comeback ever. Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign, a nice little way from McDonald's Donald Trump. Your new book is out, and I'm halfway through it. I'm in the Kamala Seinfeld, A Campaign About Nothing chapter, and I was listening to this. I was blessed with the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. on Monday and Tuesday and join the press corps at the White House, and just what an experience that was. When I finally lots smaller than you think. When I finally got some downtime, I'm like, I'm just going to walk the mall, and I'm going to walk until I don't want to walk anymore. And I pulled your book up and staring at the Washington Monument in one direction, the White House in another, and the U.S. Capitol in the other, I'm listening to the story of Donald Trump's greatest comeback ever. And I am imploring everybody listening, and I don't always do this when people have books, everybody listening, when you are feeling down, you turn on this book and listen to it on Audible. Go buy it, sit down and read it, and it will make you feel good. You did such a great job telling the story.
Wow, the Venmo went through.
Yes, that's right.
I've gotten some really good reviews on this. This was my favorite book of the three that I've written because it wrote itself. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, this campaign, that stretch from June 27th, the debate in Atlanta where Joe Biden's brain turned applesauce right in front of the whole country when we've been talking about it for years, but finally everybody else got to see it. And then, what was it, 16 days later, Donald Trump is nearly assassinated in Butler, Pennsylvania. And then while you're still reeling from that, 2 days after that, there he is at the RNC with a bandage on his ear. And the first day of the RNC, he also chooses J.D. Vance, which a lot of people didn't expect. And then 6 days after that, Joe Biden drops out. And a couple hours after that, Kamala Harris is basically Soviet-style coordinated as the next nominee. So that stretch alone, and that's history right there. And the fact that Donald Trump, the reason why it is the greatest comeback ever, is because he overcomes 94 felony charges, right? Including those 34 felony counts against him. He survives two assassination attempts. He survives a patently dishonest and hostile media. And he survives, obviously, the summer of joy and Brad Summer and Kamala Harris and all the advantages that she was given. And despite all of this, he wins the popular vote in every swing state, and Republicans take back the Senate and hold the House. I mean, this is something 2 years ago I could never have predicted. I'm glad that I have one of the few books out there that has access to the president. I interview him for the book as well. You'll get to that in the last chapter. And I got to ride in the motorcades, got to be in the Trump plane, was backstage. It was It's a wild ride, Annie,
yeah,
for sure.
And you take us along. I mean, we were all there as all of these major events were happening, consuming it in our various ways. We're speaking with Joe Concha, whose latest book is The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. There's a ton of news stories that I could talk to you about right now, but I really do want to key in on this book because with it being the 100 days acknowledgement of their administration and how much they've gotten done after he wins the election, after he's inaugurated, the interesting thing I didn't realize as we've been mentioning this book for a couple of months here is that you started this book, you started kind of putting things down, pen to paper, before you knew that he was going to win. It's not like he won and you threw this together. You didn't really know how this book was going to end when you started writing it.
No, definitely when I started writing it, I didn't know. I had a good feeling. Just remember, it was Biden-Trump. And this was like February of 2024 where I pitched my publisher on doing it. And he says, all right, roll the dice. And if it, you know, he doesn't win, then you'll just write about something else. I'm like, yeah. Okay. So it was a big bet, right? But you saw Biden, the way he was acting. And then you saw the numbers, like inflation over 9%, border crossings 10,000 a day, crime driving people out of cities like St. Louis, Minneapolis, San Francisco, New York, to red states like Tennessee and Texas and Georgia and so on. So, and Florida, obviously. So I saw that the state of the country, I knew that Biden couldn't run another basement campaign because COVID wasn't a thing anymore where they could hide him. And I knew he would be exposed eventually. And in the end, Donald Trump, as he's proving now, 100 days in, he was on the right side of every 80-20 issue. So between that, Annie, and the fact that that Teamsters poll came out, it was internal, and it showed Joe Biden up 10 points among the rank and file on Donald Trump when Biden was in the race. Kamala gets installed, and then they do another poll internally, and Trump's up by 30. And the minute I saw that, I said, he's winning. I mean, if you don't have the union vote, you don't have enough black voters to run up the score in major cities, and you don't have a Latino vote, all that's left is the, unfortunately, childless cat ladies, and that's not enough to win an election.
It wasn't enough. I'm going to set this clip. I'm going to play a clip here for you to react, because the question that I have for you, when you wrote the book and you finished it, and we all know how American history shakes out here, you said the greatest comeback ever. I want to know, after we play this clip, if he won the election or if she lost it. Let's listen in.
In fact, please allow me, friends, to digress for a moment. Okay.
Oh, no.
It's kind of dark in here, but I'm asking for a show of hands. Who saw that video from a couple of weeks ago? The one of the elephants at the San Diego Zoo during the earthquake? Google it if you've not seen it. So that scene has been on my mind. Everybody's asking me, what you've been thinking about these days? Well...
It's so painful. I want to stop it, and I can't because we need to know how this story ends. Why is this funny to her? Did Donald Trump win it? Did she lose it? Combination of both. What do you think, Joe Concha?
Both. Yeah, definitely both. Because give you one example. Donald Trump goes to the Al Smith dinner in New York, right? Deep blue city.
Yeah.
She blows it off, sends in a video starring Molly Shannon as Mary Catherine, the girl who wipes her armpits whenever she gets nervous.
It's like, what do they think of Catholics?
Yeah, exactly.
Mary Catherine.
Yeah, plus Molly Shannon, just a couple of months before that, said that Catholicism is a cancer that needs to be eradicated. And that's the person that you decide to send a video along to, and it got booed, like, in the hall. So you're like, boy, that's a bad excuse. And meanwhile, Trump was hilarious. He's like, wow, it's the first time I've come to Manhattan in some time where I haven't been served with a subpoena. I'm like, oh, that's funny. But the best line was, I keep hearing that there's more than one gender, more than two genders, and I just couldn't buy it. But then I met Tim Walz, and I found that. I mean, deadpan, boom. I mean, hilarious, right? Or white dudes for Harris. He goes, I'm not so worried about them because they're going to end up voting for me, and their lovers are going to end up voting for me as well. Like, something like that. I don't know. So the little things like that, Trump, good decision to go there. It's actually an easy decision. Or go to McDonald's, right? And that photo goes viral. And at the same time, it proved that Kamala Harris never worked at a McDonald's because she never talked about it again after that, because she wrote two memoirs and never mentioned once that she worked there. There isn't one person in this country that says, oh, yeah, I worked with her. Yeah, no. She's telling the truth. No one did. And little things like that, plus the blowing of $1.5 billion so you could hire, like, Beyonce to speak for 3 minutes at a rally so you could pump up the crowd and make the numbers look better. You could just go on and on. Trump won this, though, ultimately, because he out-hustled his opponent like he always does, just outworked her. I mean, he did 7 rallies in the final 2 days on no sleep. He just seemed to want it more, quite frankly.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, because I don't know if she felt like she just was entitled to it or if her heart wasn't in it, but he did absolutely want it more, and he did out-hustle her. Before we let you go, we're speaking with Joe Concha. You've written the book about the greatest comeback ever. Anybody who celebrated the day that Donald Trump won his second term, this is the walkthrough of how we got there. And it's fun to go relive it and to experience everything and be like, oh my gosh, that's right, that did happen. Give us your thoughts real quick before we let you go. Since he's been inaugurated, the first 100 days, yeah. How's he doing?
I look at numbers, right? So try to take a penny out of it. I see inflation at 2.4%. It fell last month. It was over 9% under Joe Biden. That's good. Unemployment's around 4%. That's good. Border crossings are down 99%. That is amazing, considering that not one more inch of wall was built. We just had a different president, and they're sending a different message. And, you know, a couple thousand National Guard troops, and boom, it solved the problem, right? So I look at those three things, and those are major accomplishments. The tariffs and the trade, however, that's the big bet. First 100 days, fine. You're going to break some eggs. There's going to be some volatility. Let's see what happens in the next 100 days, Annie. Let's see if we can get those zero-for-zero tariff deals with places like India and the EU and eventually China. And then let's see, obviously, that big, beautiful bill with all the tax cuts that are in it that's going to really provide rocket fuel for the economy. The next 100 days, then I can tell you how I'll grade Donald Trump. But right now, it's only 100 days. We've still got 45 months left in this presidency. He's only been there 3 months. It feels like 3 years.
Yeah, amen to that. Joe Concha, thank you for writing this book, truly, to be able to have this timeline of events. It's so wonderful to go back through it. I'm reading it through listening to it. Your voice has been narrating it, and I've been listening at two times the speed. You get a lot of words in, Joe, at two times the speed. I appreciate it.
That's hilarious. All right, enjoy, and we'll do this again soon. Thanks, Annie.
Thanks, Joe. Goodbye. Joe Concha is a Fox News contributor. You can find him on X at Joe Concha TV, and the book is The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. I listened to this book in Washington, D.C., after I got done with everybody who I was able to talk to on Capitol Hill, Senator Schmidt, Congressman Mike Bost, Congressman Darren LaHood, Congresswoman Mary Miller. And I knew I had some work to do to get all this stuff edited and try to get everything organized because I was leaving, flying out the next day. And I left the Capitol and I thought to myself, okay, maybe I'll just Uber back to the hotel and I'll just start getting my work done. And I looked at Ubers, and pretty much my Ubers back and forth were somewhere between $9 and like $14 or $15. And when I pulled up the Uber from the very exit of Capitol of the Capitol where I was talking to the congressman, it was like $40. And I'm like, good grief, that seems like a lot. I was like, I'll just walk a little bit. Maybe I'll walk a little bit closer, get to the other side of the White House, and maybe it'll go down there. And so I thought, well, I'll put Joe Concha's book on in my ear. And so as I was walking around the Capitol building, which is just magnificently beautiful, most things in Washington, D.C. that you see are most things are smaller than you think, or maybe the way they've been depicted in movies or TV shows or photographs, it's kind of hard to get the perspective of what they're really going to be like. There are several things like the Lincoln Memorial. When you go in and you see Abraham Lincoln, it's massive. The Washington Monument is huge. The White House is, most of the time, I think people say, and I thought it was initially like, oh, okay, it's a little smaller than I thought it would be. Amidst all of these, you know, buildings that are built up all over downtown D.C. The Capitol building is gigantic. It's so, it just kind of is on a hill. Like, they call it the hill, but it just sits up high and it's beautiful. It's got these beautiful steps that lead up to it on both sides of the building. And so I walked around the back of it and then up to the front so you can get to where the reflecting pool is and the Washington Monument. And I just was like, well, I'll just keep walking. I'll keep walking and keep checking Uber to see if the price goes down. It stayed the same or went up. And so I was like, well, I'll just keep walking. So I ended up doing about the 3 miles back to my hotel, listening to this book. And I couldn't hardly believe some of the things that he highlights in the story of leading up to Donald Trump's victory. And to be able to consume that story that I've already lived and you've already lived, we all saw it happen, and to do it when you're walking in the shadow of the Washington Monument or over my shoulder as U.S. Capitol and you're walking past the White House, and to hear this story of how America's voice was still heard in the last election, I can't recommend enough. And I have people on who write books and I'm happy to promote their books. This one in particular, The Greatest Comeback Ever by Joe Concha. You're going to want this one on your shelves. Go get it. Let's take a quick break. We'll do Wiggins America next when we come back.
Ain't colliding, just ain't jiving. I don't know.
Wiggins.
Oh, Wiggins.
All right, you ready to survive an alien invasion?
No, I don't want to survive it.
All right, then you're going to not want to be in certain states.
Are they nice aliens?
No.
And perhaps like, the one thing this article doesn't talk about. They're nice aliens.
Welcome our
or
new
not.
Alien overlords.
No, these are going to be...
I want to go be with Jesus instead of the aliens.
That's great. I applaud you.
Thank you.
I don't think that that's what the article's focusing
that's
on.
That's okay.
Like, I might, at the end of it doesn't say...
My husband might...
Just die.
My husband might disagree, so these will be helpful.
Your kids are like, Mom, you're just walking into the beam?
Let's say what Molly says.
Take me.
Twos. Peace out.
So there. First of all, Daily Mail recently ranked the best and worst states to be in if you want to survive the UFO invasion. And it was based on the criteria of who has the most forests, caves, emergency personnel, military personnel, and engineers per capita, plus population density and water access.
How do we know what the aliens
want? Well, we just assume that they're hostile here for this.
So they just want to come here and kill us and leave?
Take over?
They want to kill us, and they just want our planet. They don't want us to be here.
So they want our resources.
They want everything.
They want a minerals deal.
Yeah. They probably leave the animals.
They want Earth's molten cores.
Which ones? All of them?
All the animals except for the humans.
How do you know so much about this?
This is just the rules. I didn't make them up.
He's a sci-fi guy.
he's part of the advanced the advanced team. Down here prepping everybody.
I didn't say that. You said that. Okay, which states or area of the country would you picture being the best to be in?
Montana.
If a UFO invasion happened.
Yeah, I guess a place where there's not a lot of population, but I would say like Wyoming.
Might have better resources there. It's less.
Or Montana's a good one. Maybe Colorado? So I'm saying that area of the country.
That's what everybody would expect, isn't it?
Yeah.
You are dead wrong. It's the exact opposite. Those are the worst states to be in.
Because they're untouched resources.
Yeah, see, I knew it. He's part of the advanced squad.
They don't have as many resources,
what's
water.
What's the advanced squad?
So what's the best, like New York?
He's saying I'm a scout for the aliens, is
what
he's
saying.
Oh,
that tracks. Go on.
So dumb. I don't like it.
Well, is that why his beard's two different colors?
Yes.
No, that's what happens to
older
gentlemen.
Aliens have, yeah. It's like gangs. They have colors. He's sporting his colors.
No. Like, so if you see a man with a beard
Which
that's
alien?
Starting to get some pepper and uh-huh. salt in it, that means they're an alien.
Pepper that's literal and salt. Pepper and salt and barbecue sauce.
So?
You got a little something right here.
And butterscotch Twinkie things. Or what are those kisses that I was eating yesterday?
See, you don't even know.
Yesterday?
Yeah, I was eating those yesterday.
Wait, is that what was at my keyboard yesterday?
I gave you one of those.
He gave you a kiss?
Thanks.
I did. And James, too, the other producer.
An edible kiss.
All right, the states that you want to be in are Virginia.
The aliens would love this.
Number one, Virginia.
Yeah.
Virginia
is for lovers.
Number two, really 2 through 10, is states like Massachusetts, Wisconsin, and North Carolina, Georgia, all because they have strong military presence and a lot of resources.
But there's a lot of people,
That's
too.
That's where the fighting's going to be first.
Yeah.
Why?
Because there's so many people there. They're going to the spots where they can get rid of the most people. And the Northeast has the most people.
I still
does
don't
it not?
Understand what the aliens want. If they want our earthly resources,
here's
the
problem.
The most condensed populative areas don't have
gonna,
the most earthly
when they show
resources.
Up, we're not going to have communication. We're not going to know what they want.
Well, they
want
to wipe us out before they take our resources.
So you That's
wanna,
what I was thinking.
You guys are pretty certain.
So you want to get close to the land.
What if they're really...
You don't want to have desert.
...into fashion.
Well, then they'd wipe me out.
And they'd want to go to L.A.
Just kidding. I got this shirt at Forever 21.
Because your fashion is good or bad?
I don't know.
We got to take Wiggins out first.
Look at what he's wearing.
Just look at him.
It's a plain sweatshirt.
That
you got
not the fashion.
So the worst states are, ironically, Nevada, home to Area 51.
I would have picked that first.
Idaho and Arizona, because they have a small military presence, but it's more associated with movie aliens.
Listen, we're not going to be able to keep up with the alien technology as it is. So I think that military schmilitary in this case. Personally,
would our EMPs dismantle and disable their technology?
Well, that depends. First, you have to tell me what an EMP is.
Now you guys don't know the answers to the questions.
Oh, I know everything.
Well, maybe that's how the EMP gets set off, is that we have to do it for that, or what I think is more likely, the robots.
What was your question about the EMP again?
What is an EMP?
An electromagnetic pulse weapon, and it can set off...
I knew that.
It can set off a pulse that disables and, for good, all electronic circuits and computers and everything.
Okay.
So we go back to living in, like, wagon wheel times.
Yeah.
Oregon Trail kind of thing?
Yes, yeah. Dysentery.
Yeah, and that's what...
yeah, be the doctor.
What's the question?
You asked it, didn't you?
What was your question about EMP was my question.
I said, would our EMP military weapons be able to take out alien systems? I think the aliens would be, like, we would have to set off in our own EMP to disable their electronic systems, and then it would just be brute strength versus brute strength.
That's a good question.
That is a good question. I can answer that question.
I bet you can. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, because I literally wrote the book on this, The Life of Human has an EMP as a central part of the plot. So,
and yet you're completely unprepared.
I study The Life of Human.
Stop it, Ethan. It's called The Greatest Comeback Ever.
Where can one get that?
Just type in Joe Concha.
Yeah, get his book. You're going to want it when you're sitting there
right,
hiding from the aliens.
Yeah, you're going to want to look at how Kamala Harris lost the 2024 election.
Like, these are the important things. Remember when
people
she was talking about
elephants? People are going to clamoring to get The Life of Human at that point. Because they're going to be like, oh my gosh, this will help me survive, which it will. So to answer your question, though, these are trans-dimensional aliens, so the EMP won't work on them.
Mm-hmm.
They came from a
different
dimension.
Thank you for the information.
Yeah. I don't know.
They're bioelectric computers, so EMPs don't work like they would on a traditional computer.
Exactly.
I don't think that you can prove that. I think you're both saying that with an imposed faux arrogance that is supposed to make me just be like, oh, that sounded really smart.
You were just going to sacrifice yourself to the aliens instantly anyway.
Yeah, which one of these scenarios is preferable?
The one we're in. The one we're
in right now, without the alien or Valorant.
The aliens are transdimensional. You don't know what in the world's going on.
You're saying this like it's a fact, like I said.
It is a fact. Look, what is this right here?
Maybe they want to learn our farming patterns so that they can take it back to their Earth-like planet.
I printed this.
Implement it, and if they kill us, we can't teach them.
That is cold, hard facts in Ryan Wiggins' hands right now.
Didn't we establish earlier that you wrote these articles and then are now sourcing them?
That's all... hearsay.
Sources say.
All back from the book Life of Human?
Look, allegedly. What Annie's saying is that they're not going to learn our farming patterns. How does she know that?
I said that they wouldn't if they killed us.
They would definitely learn our farming patterns.
I think they're traveling the universe to get corn.
Yes, they are. Our corn's great, especially here in the Midwest.
The best.
Yeah. And that's really
you
the whole
even
point
got,
of the
you
segment.
Haven't even
yeah, I was going to say, we got one point in.
There's a whole nother article.
But wait, there's more after the break. You'll actually tell us how to get...
10 ways to survive the alien invasion.
10?
Yeah. You can take the Annie plan and just go see Jesus.
She doesn't care about surviving.
Jesus, no, I'm surviving for good. Just not here. We'll be right back.
You had a solid retirement.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.